are listening to an extra shot episode on the Project Zion podcast, a shorter episode that lets you get your Project Zion fix in between our full-length episodes. It might be shorter time-wise, but hopefully not in content. So regardless of the temperature at which you prefer your caffeine, sit back and enjoy this extra shot.
Project Zion listeners, and welcome to No Filter, a discussion thread here on Project Zion podcast, where we have conversations about sex, sexuality, gender, and faith. Our guest today is Janina Jones. Janina lives in the greater Phoenix area where she has a family, she has a pie baking business, and she is in nursing school. And I just learned today, she also has a new obsession in raising houseplants. So Janina is a busy lady. Hi, Janina.
Hi, Karen.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. We're kicking it.
Well, I'm so glad that you have time to spend with us here on Project Zion for a little bit, because you and I have visited before, and you have been through, and maybe are still going through, a really significant faith transition. And so I'm hoping that you could tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yes, I would love to. Where to begin?
Yes.
The question of my life. I was born in California. Mm-hmm. My parents, we were Mormon. They are still Mormon. Super, super strong believers, extreme. And I didn't know I struggled growing up, but I definitely did. I had a lot of mental health issues, and I was always told, oh, you're just not praying hard enough, just fast. It's all your fault. Like, you don't have the spirit. So I developed so much shame, and I developed a lot of body issues with that, a lot of eating disorder, because I was told if I had the spirit with me, I wouldn't have, my appetite would be able to be controlled. Spirituality, Mormonism didn't control my mental health. And I didn't know I struggled, and my parents had a pretty hard time connecting with me, and I think it's because I didn't even know how to connect with myself, because I never was taught how to be my own person, or how to think, to even know that I wasn't my own person. I was following a path that I knew they wanted me to do, and that path didn't give me the option to be Janina. So I was just this little zombie of a human being trying to make my way through life. And right after high school, I got accepted to BYU, but I had to start for the summer program. So about a week after I graduated high school, I went to BYU. And it was not the place for me. I ended up getting kicked out because of my grades weren't so great. And I ran with a pretty wild crowd. Wild as in like...
BYU wild?
Okay. BYU wild. I worked at a gas station with a good buddy, and our wild nights was like going through the car wash, like in our clothes. Like it was fun. And I had this friend, and we thought we were pretty wild. We had these matching little bikes, banana seat bikes, and they had bells. And we wore like tutus one day and with pants underneath, and drove our bikes around Provo, and this old lady called us and was like, show your, you guys have gumption, because we were so like crazy. Even though I look back, we weren't even crazy, but back then, like, a lot of people weren't friends with us because we thought we were wild, and we weren't, but compared to BYU standards, we were pretty crazy.
Okay, I have an image in my head of now of BYU wild that has to do with banana seat bikes, tutus, and going to the car wash, and then wondering how many of my listeners are relating to that or not.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a special case. But then my life fell apart, like it tended to do, because my mental health caught up with me. And I moved away from Utah to Arizona, and I worked at a wilderness therapy camp for troubled kids, Anasazi. There we did primitive surviving. I got good at making fire with sticks, and we just connected with nature. and learn natural consequences based on just how to deal with life by using nature as a guide. And it was a beautiful experience. I don't know if many of the kids, it's really hard to change your life as a kid because you go straight back into the situation that you were torn from, because a lot of them were forced to go taken and then forced into this program. And then they're placed right back into the situation they came from. But for me, it really changed my life because I was looking for change. So I grew up super duper Mormon and didn't learn how to think for myself, or I didn't learn how to be Janina. So fast forward about 15 years, I ended up finding myself in Arizona, a school bus driver, because that's where all the cool kids got a job. And I followed some guy there, of course. That seemed to rule my life back then. And then I ended up in the summer hating Arizona. So I went to Alaska, got a job driving tour buses for a couple of years in the summer times. And I met my husband there, which was super cool. And it was a quick Mormon marriage. We knew each other for 2 months in Alaska. And then we did long distance for 3 months. He lived in Utah, I lived in Arizona. And then we got married as complete strangers, which at that point in my life, I was taught explicitly that any marriage could work as long as the two people are righteous, which I'm like, oh, I could do this. And he's 3.5 years younger than me. And I'm under impression I could change him to what I wanted. I'm like, great, a younger man, I could mold him. And that's how I got married.
Okay.
Which
so Mormon marriage, Mormon mm-hmm. expectations.
Right.
And yet at some point that life of what you were living and what you felt was the expectation of typical mm-hmm. Mormon experience, that didn't work for you. So what happened?
I had my third kid, and around the same time I was pregnant with him, I had a friend who had started to question the church, and I've always been an amazing listener, amazing friend. So I would just listen to her talk, and I didn't really think anything of it, because at that point I still didn't know how to critically think for myself. But it just kind of, it planted seeds in the back of my mind. And then when I was pretty pregnant, I just was having trouble with church. My oldest is on the autism spectrum and he has ADHD. So he struggled at church. And I complained to his child development specialist, like, I can't do this. Church is so hard. He needs to be this. And she's like, why are you taking your kid to church? It is not a developmentally appropriate place for a kid like him. You need to set your kid up for success. That's not fair to him. And I'm like, you're right. At this point, I was still pretty believing, and I'm like, so when my 9 months pregnant, and so I had the baby, and I gave myself a, God would understand if I don't go to church. He knows my situation, and I also wanted to kind of figure things out, because what my friend had been telling me was starting to bother me, and I'm like, I need to start teaching my kids what I believe, but I honestly didn't know what I believe. I did 4 years of seminary. Growing up, we did early morning, and my parents didn't give us a lot of money growing up, but if we had perfect attendance, we got like $100. So I had 4 years of perfect attendance early morning seminary, but I didn't learn because I was just there. I just floated by. I got, the stuff I did get was how to judge myself, how to judge other people, and how not to be worthy, and that I wasn't worthy. That's pretty much what I learned, that I was never good enough. So then I decided that I had to look into it. And at that time, I had found the LDS gospel essays.
Yes.
Which are damning in themselves. But I had remembered this one time in my Sunday school class, probably when I was 16, the teacher was talking about the book of Abraham and how Joseph Smith was able to translate Egyptian. And that means he was a prophet and the church was true. And I was like, okay, if that happened, then I don't have to think about it. And I just didn't think about it. So I had remembered this. So the very first essay that I read was the book of Abraham. And this was on LDS.org, like credible mm-hmm. sources. It totally broke apart that he translated it. And he was like, mm-hmm. they talked about how It was, he just used it as a like revelation. It wasn't really translated, just all this stuff. And I was like, if this isn't true, the church is not true. Like, this can't, like, I've been lied to. So then I dove in really hardcore to church history, listened to the Year Polygamy podcast, Mormon Stories, just found my way through all these really dark, deep parts of church history that you're not taught. And then I just couldn't do it. And in that, I realized that I don't believe in a traditional God. I realized I believe there is some sort of human connection, but I don't know if I could believe in God, and definitely not a Mormon God. He was not as loving as I would want someone to be my like eternal father. The treatment of LGBTs, people that don't believe, anyone that's different, it just wasn't true accepting. And to me, that's not Christianity.
So this was a really dark period for you when you took this kind of dive off into all of this new information and more reputable sources for church history and talking to other people and, of course, listening to a lot of different podcasts. So as you began to process through this and dismantled some of these beliefs that you've grown up with, you have said in the past that one of the things that began to happen with you, you began to discover who you were rather than who others expected you to be. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. I began to realize that I always was like a free-spirited, happy-go-lucky, like accept anybody person. And I had to dial that back a million times because in Mormonism, you can't love everybody because you're supposed to judge them. Every friend you have, you're supposed to have with the idea that you're going to eventually teach them the gospel. That's your mission. Like in your patriarchal blessing, you're told that you're going to share the gospel with your friends and they're going to meet you up in heaven and be so grateful that you shared the gospel with them. And the friends that you don't will be devastated. Like you're holding them back. So I had all these expectations in my friendships and I was embarrassed about the church and I never shared that kind of stuff. And it was such a relief just to be able to not have that guilt and not wanting to share religion with people and just loving them and loving myself for being imperfect and beautiful. Brené Brown was a very big part of my faith transition. And her whole idea is just the gifts of imperfection. You are beautiful the way you are. Be pure, be vulnerable, just be empathetic and learn how to be empathetic towards other people and especially yourself. So I just began to reach out with myself and just, I've changed how I've treated everybody in my life. And it's kind of cool.
So this new Janina begins to emerge as the shell casing is kind of peeled away. That was hiding you or holding you in a certain way. And out came this really empowered, vibrant, outspoken woman that had been there all along. How did that affect your relationships with others, your family, your friends, your spouse? How did that work?
We'll start with my family. My family was devastated. I kind of also planned my transition for when my parents were on a Mormon mission. They were in Spain for 2 years. And so I did a lot of my exploring then because I knew I didn't have to answer because they'd always call me Sundays and notice that I wasn't at church. So they were so busy, I was able to kind of spread that. And then when they found out, they were devastated. There's 4 kids in my family and this is 3 out of 4 of us are out now. And my mom prays for my soul every day still. She thinks she's the failure and we're not going to be with her for eternity, even though I'm a completely better person today. So that really has affected that. It's really hard when you leave Mormonism because in Mormonism, you're taught that if you're being righteous, if anything goes wrong, it's at the test. And if you're not, if you've left the church, it's a tribulation, like a punishment. So everything that any problem I have in life, I'm told like, oh, you just need to come back to church. Just pay your tithing. Just do this and God will take care of it. And I'm like, no, this is just life. but it makes you feel like you want to put up a false sense of like perfection for your Mormon family because you don't want to be judged on. Like, just knowing that someone's not really taking your problem seriously and thinking it's God's way of telling you need to get your act together, it doesn't feel good. So that really affects that. My friendships, they have blossomed. I have the best connections with my friends now, like really heart to heart. One of the cool things I do is I'm in a mom's club, and I started when I was a true believer, and they've watched this whole transition. And I've been able to talk to them about how it was, and they were like, yeah, Janina, you were so uptight. You were not any fun. Like back when, and they've watched it all. They've watched my dark sides. Like I've been, during all this, I had also postpartum depression, all this stuff. Like I was deep and dark. And now I'm come out completely different. I swear like a sailor now. And it feels
some of
so
us do,
good.
Janina. It's fine.
Yes. And it's just, to me, it's fun and beautiful and just all these things. Like I'm so much more carefree, and they talk about, they laugh at me sometimes. It's fun.
So when you describe yourself and this transition, it's a lot of joy. It's a lot of deep joy that comes out of you now. But also, I found it interesting that you said you gave up being judgmental in order to live a life that was compassionate and loving. Mm-hmm. And that's been an interesting way to describe your change, your transition, mm-hmm. To become a person who you were called to be, which is a person who is loving and compassionate and connects authentically with others. So mm-hmm. How has this kind of new way of being Janina, this joyful, compassionate Janina, how have you noticed what strengthens you and gives you confidence now in this part of your journey?
That is definitely, it's a work in progress trying to find that confidence. But I think it's having real friends that could really, they see that beauty in my soul and just like, they tell me just all the time, Janina, you're amazing. And that's our conversation sometimes, just that reminder of just how beautiful I am. And it started off as a joke, me talking like that, just to convince myself with positive affirmations. And I think I'm slowly believing it. Some days I do more than others, but I'm really starting to feel it when I look at my life and how pretty cool I am. Like I have all this stuff going for me. I have a pie business. I have really healthy green house plants that are so fun. Like anything I do really well.
Even
mental health I do with passion. Like all around, everything I excel at. So it's just, I think it's just finally being okay with just being the way you are. And just having that, figuring out true love for yourself, and it doesn't have to be all at once. And being okay, I think it's more of being comfortable to sit in your own darkness, and then you could feel the light. You know what? That's, I think, what it really is. Like, I'm comfortable in darkness. I'm comfortable in pain. Like, everyone that knows me has seen me cry. Like, I cry if I'm happy or sad or just in between. And to me, that's okay. And because of that, people also open up to me a lot easier because they know they could cry and I'll cry right with them. And that relationships, connecting with other people in real manners, I think that feeds my soul. That feeds my need for human connection, my spirituality, and makes me happy.
So earlier you said that when you realized you were transitioning out of Mormonism, you left that kind of a traditional God behind. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a need for that in your life. When you talk about your journey now, you talk in spiritual terms. Mm-hmm. You talk about that journey. You talk about connection to mm-hmm. whatever it is that is in you and in others and that you see in others. You talk about light and dark. So what about your spiritual journey now has surprised you?
That I'm so comfortable not believing in a God and so comfortable with not knowing. the fact that I don't feel like I really need to know, because to me, that knowledge isn't going to help me because it's never going to be proven to me. So why worry about something that's not going to be, like, I'm not going to know if it's true or not in this life. And I'm okay with that. But what I do know is that helping people makes me happy, makes them happy. And smiles, I think, are what is important in life. And anything that helps me smile or someone else smile, that's what I don't want to say worship, but that's what I strive for. Like, just happiness. And at the same time, sadness. Because sadness could be really almost uplifting when you're okay to express that sadness. Because without the sadness, you don't have the happiness.
So you have kind of found a place in this group of individuals called Community of Christ at the congregation near where you live, where you have been accepted for who you are. And your kids for who they are in that experience, to the point where I'm pretty sure you were at Pride in the Community of Christ booth, inviting people into community. So tell me about that.
That was pretty cool. I've always had a soft spot for the LGBTQ community just because they're people. Like, I wasn't sure why, but it's actually been something that has been pretty pivotal in kind of maybe my faith transition a little, or discovering that I'm comfortable in my own shoes. But I've always had crushes on girls my whole life, but I just called it a girl crush, laughed it off. But now I've realized I'm bisexual. And so it was pretty cool to be able to be with a faith community who's accepting for me. If I like a girl, if I like boobs, if I like whatever, it's okay. Like, it's a beautiful thing. And I was really, really happy to be with Community of Christ, because that, I think, is truly where Christ would be. Like, I think most people, most Mormons, don't understand Christianity, because Jesus, he was with those people. He was with the harlots, the sinners, the sick. That's who he loved. And LGBT people are none of those. They're like the awesomest, because they're humans. Everyone's awesome. And it's just kind of cool to just connect with real people who are struggling to live their lives. And they're the people that really know themselves and have the confidence and the courage to be themselves, even though some people might kind of not treat them equally. And so those are the coolest people, I think, to talk to. And because I'm kind of one of them, too.
Well, it's been a really wonderful experience to get to know you a little bit and walk with you for part of your journey over the past year or so since we've known each other. When you think about your journey here, your transition, and how we speak about gender and faith, sexuality and faith, what are some things that would be helpful would have been helpful for you and would be helpful for others in the conversations about gender, gender identity, and sexuality?
That's a really good question. I think the fact that it just doesn't matter as long as you love. Like, sexuality doesn't matter as long as you have a true connection. Like, just, you can love whoever you want, and it's beautiful, and it could change too. That's the best part about it. Like, I don't think those parts are so just there. Like, it doesn't matter. And there's so many ways things could be different, and you could love different people for different matters. And
so let me ask it this way, Jamina. Okay. As your boys get older, what are you going to say to them about gender identity and faith?
I think I'm going to just tell them they could just be Hunter. Like, doesn't have to worry about the gender. Like, you're just Hunter, whoever you are, or Xander or Cooper. Three boys. I don't think I said that. I have three boys, ages 4, 6, and 8. They're crazy and awesome. I live in a zoo. And I will just tell them it doesn't matter. Like, gender doesn't matter. It's beautiful because who they are. And it's fluid, and it's just beautiful. It's their brains and their souls and their smile. That's what matters in life. As long as they have those, they could love whoever they want, whenever they want.
That's lovely, Janina. So you go to school for nursing school. You are a pie baker extraordinaire. Having tasted your wares many times, I can attest to that for our listeners. What's next for Janina?
I'm actually starting with another fellow Community of Christ member. We're starting an interfaith connections group here in our area of Surprise. We're having our first meetup in a couple weeks. We're just providing an area for families to get together and experience spirituality without religion. So that's kind of cool. Gonna head that up.
One story that I feel like I need to share. When I started college, I went to community college out here in Arizona, and I had a friend who was into diversity, just with the Multicultural Student Union, and they invited me to a diversity camp, and I went to this pretty cool camp, and just you learned about all these other religions and cultures, and it was just beautiful, just connecting with humans for who they are and learning about all this other stuff I'd never been exposed to. And then 2 years ago, I was invited to a reunion out in Prescott, Arizona. And I showed
up at Whispering Pines.
Yeah, Whispering Pines. And I drove up and I was like, I've been here before. This was the same location where I went to that diversity camp. And it was just a really cool circle of like me, one of the first places where I truly understood other people's beauty and religions to where I kind of ended up with my current spiritual community.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
that is pretty cool. Coming full circle.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like coming home.
Yes, it really is.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time tonight away from your family and your studies and everything else so that you could visit with us. And we look forward to seeing where your journey takes you in the future. And we'll check in with you and see
how it goes. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Janina. So for our listeners here on Project Zion, this has been No Filter, where we have conversations about sex, sexuality, gender, and faith.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.